What's going on, everyone? It's me, Lone. Welcome to episode 4 of Lone Vault Radio, the video games podcast where I invite my friends, other content creators, and industry colleagues to talk all things games. I keep saying we have new special guests, but I'm going to keep saying it because I try and get a special guest on every episode. Today, we have a fellow YouTuber, a fellow content creator, into all things Fallout 76 in particular, Angry Turtle. Turtle, what's going on, bro? Thank you so much for joining me, man.
Hi there, everyone. Hello, Vault Dwellers. Yes. We are here on Lone Wonder Podcast.
Hell yeah, man.
76, yeah.
We were talking before we started recording that it was very coincidental we picked today to do the podcast, because today Bethesda announced everything with the new season and the Ghoul update. They showed all the rewards. So we're absolutely going to get into that, bro. Like, I want to pick your brains on, you know, your thoughts with that, but also just the state of Fallout 76 in general. So we're going to deep dive into that. But as I like to start all these podcasts with, I want to start with talking about you. How have you been? How's your YouTube channel going? Tell me all about it, bro.
It's going very good for me. The YouTube channel is growing, especially since the TV show. I was hoping for next season this year, but we didn't get it. I'm really interested in TV show season 2.
We could. Yeah. So, like, you saw a noticeable bump around the time of the Fallout TV show on your channel.
Yes. I think everyone did. Every creator related to any Fallout.
Yeah.
Regardless which one it was. There was uptick in Fallout 3 player base, in Fallout 4, Fallout 76.
Yeah.
All across the board, because the TV show basically touch people that normally are not so much into video games and Fallout series, but when they experience the world of Fallout from a TV viewer perspective, which is different than a gamer, then they wanted more. And I think that would push people to the best video game ever created, Fallout.
Hell yeah, man. So tell me about people joining your channel, presumably for the first time. They're watching the show, they're getting introduced to Fallout for the first time. What was it like getting an influx of probably a lot of brand new players that have never played Fallout 76 before? And they're obviously going to channels like yours because you do a lot of the guides, you do the beginner guides, you do the build guides and showing perk cards and everything. So what was that process like, getting this big influx of new players to the game?
It was really fun process. A lot of questions, chat everywhere on Discord and in the comment section. That was probably the first time ever I was not even able to glance through all the comments. I was not able to, because there were so many at this peak moment. I still try, because I like to reply to comments. I still try to reply, but it was only small percentage. Unlike my usual stuff, when I'm able to see at least half of the comments, reply to at least half of the comments that have some questions.
Yeah.
But then it was impossible. I was happy, but at the same time, how do I do that? I cannot answer.
I can't keep up. I remembered going through something very similar. I was doing the episode breakdowns of the TV show. And I genuinely, man, I overworked myself. I was doing YouTube full time. Yeah. And I think I burnt myself out trying to produce too much content, because there was pressure on creators like us with the TV show. We knew numbers were really great, to constantly try and perform. Did you find that at that time?
Yeah, I didn't overwork myself.
Good.
I know what it means. I kind of overworked myself a little bit when Starfield released. That was the moment for me, because
tell me about it.
I was doing Fallout content, but in the same, on my second YouTube channel, Angry Turtle Gaming, I was playing Starfield. I was playing a lot because I like the space version of Fallout. That's how it is for me, Starfield. I was playing a lot, but as well, I was doing guides for it and some other videos when keeping up with Fallout, as I never wanted to quit Fallout. So I was keeping up with both. And then I was like barely sleeping at some point, that I was so tired after a month of doing that.
Yeah.
But that was too much. So I know for the future, you need to have some limits. You need to set some limits and still go sleep normally and do some daily stuff. You cannot just sit in front of your computer for a month.
and by the way, do you have a full-time job? Is YouTube your side hobby, or do you do YouTube full-time now?
I used to have a job and YouTube, but for 2 years, YouTube is my job.
You were pumping out content. When you and I and Tier and Captain Noob, we were doing a lot of Fallout 76 stuff back in the day,
yeah.
I kept asking myself, how are you producing the amount of content that you are and also live streaming while having a full-time job? How did you balance it all at that stage?
I was always working quite a lot. So my first stage was giving up all the overtimes at my regular job.
Mm.
So doing standard 8 hours instead of previously quite often 12 hours or on the weekend. So these extra hours I spent on YouTube.
Wow.
And my normal hours that I would still game, because before I had YouTube, of course, I was a gamer already. So some time was allocated to gaming as a hobby. Mm. Like for most people that play video games, you do it after work to relax a little bit, especially if your work involves some activity, then you just finally sit and relax.
Yeah. So I got to ask you about the period where you were trying to straddle both covering Starfield and Fallout 76. Like, what are you doing now with Angry Turtle Gaming, your second channel? Are you still trying to cover Starfield or other games? And how long were you trying to do that for?
It was for a while, but Starfield for now, it fell out from my roster, mainly because there was not too many updates.
Mm.
And then the DLC for me, that was Elder Scrolls in space. Not what I wanted. Like, I wanted Fallout in space, like original Starfield. I did went through the DLC. I liked the ending of the DLC, but generally, let's be honest, Starfield DLC was relatively short.
Yeah.
And after I was done with it, I had no purpose really to return. There is no multiplayer aspect in Starfield. Yeah. So that what brings me always back to Fallout. I meet people there. I see the same names. I talk with them. I have the viewership, but that's one thing. But other thing as well, in the game, even if there would be no YouTube channel, I'm meeting those people, I play with them. I know those are real people and not the NPCs. That kind of makes a big difference. You know, the NPCs will always talk the same stuff to you.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future, if we get AI NPCs, single-player games will have a chance to compete. Maybe. But for now, they just keep talking the same stuff. And you cannot immerse yourself for too much in single-player game when you know those are the same NPCs, will talk the same stuff, do the same stuff. When with real people, even if you do the same content, someone does something new, someone figure out how to beat a stage a little bit faster, or someone do something stupid and we all laugh.
Myself
into that, I do stupid stuff sometimes too. That's different.
You bring up a really good point, by the way, with Fallout 76 in particular, because, you know, my history with YouTube was starting with Fallout 4, right? And then eventually I went into 76. But 76 made it so easy for us to make content because there was constant content and constant updates and events, and there's always something new to cover, even after, how many years ago did 76 release? 2018? So long time ago.
6 years already, yeah.
Right. It's been ages, yet we're still able to be here covering the game because Bethesda, it's not that they're relying on the modding community to release content and that's what we can cover as content creators. But the game itself is still very, very much active. What is it? Almost 7 years later, it pretty much allowed creators like you, and I wanted to ask you this as well. You started your channel starting with Fallout 76, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. I started with Fallout 76. My first Fallout ever that I played was Fallout 2. The content started with Fallout 76.
Yeah.
And only started because of bug in Fallout 76. So I would never be a content creator if not Bethesda bugs.
Whoa. tell me the story. What do you mean?
That was first attempt at the raid. Very failed attempt at the raid.
Yeah.
So basically back then, the raid inside of Vault 94, which was quite cool. I let a little bit miss it. They could have kept it now as part of the content just for those nostalgia purposes. I don't know why it needed to be completely kicked. Mm. But there was a very nasty bug that affected me. So that was the thing is happening before I ever created any content on YouTube. Any period. I didn't upload a single video. I had no idea how to upload a single video. I never cared. Of course, I knew what YouTube was and I watched some guides and so on myself, but never cared about uploading anything myself. Okay. I was playing video games just to relax, not to create content. And Vault happened. Yep. I already was playing, Fallout 76 a lot because that's multiplayer. I was playing with other people. We're teaming up together to do this vault raid, and it was hard. Like, there was a time factor plus the lag that was making it almost impossible to beat it on the highest difficulty.
Yeah.
We're teaming up. We're doing that. And then the bug happened to me because early to me, most likely because I was doing it so much. Then to some other people over time, but I think I was one of the first one affected by this bug.
Yeah.
What this bug did, when inside the raid, something bad happened on the loading screen.
Yeah,
your character crashed when you log in back into the game after the game crash. Inventory was wiped out.
Oh no!
Completely, including the quest items. Including the quest items, what was bugging out all the quest lines that you had in progress as quest items that you normally couldn't drop was erased from your inventory. All your legendaries that back then there was no legendary crafting. If you had a perfect legendary, you were farming for it like crazy. So all of it wiped out to zero. I was, of course, angry, contacted the support.
Yeah.
The support told me that it's all basically like nothing they can do, and they don't believe me. That was basically the response from support. So then I created Reddit post that was trying, reaching to the managers at Bethesda and everything for no results. So I was like, no way. I'm uploading a video showcasing my character. It was still not enough. People didn't believe. I was able to finally record this situation again to prove it. Reproduce the bug. Was lucky enough. He had uploaded that too. How the inventory is being wiped out completely and your character is respawning outside of Vault 76 without even any outfit. Nothing.
Oh, naked. My God.
Naked outside of Vault 76 after this bug was happening. Completely so erased everything.
Did they not have... Because I know like now they might have the capability if you do something... Like if you accidentally delete a character, if you contact them in enough time, they can restore it. Did they not have any of that? Did you get your character back?
Eventually, I did.
Wow,
older
okay.
version of my character.
Okay.
That's why my main character is called now Angry Turtle _2, as that's how they restore it.
No way!
I didn't name it like that. My main character was Angry Turtle. There was no _2.
I always wanted to ask. That is a crazy story. Yeah. What the hell?
So that was a little bit older version, but with most of my legendaries, just without, I think it was 1 week. The version they were able to restore was 1 week before the bug happened to me.
What?
So I lost some of the grind from the vault raid, but not everything. So I was good with that. I was happy that I got my Gadriel legendaries back. And
but your original Angry Turtle character and username is just gone forever.
No, I still have it. That's the fun fact. They didn't erase it. I could have erased it if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But I decided not to. I'm using it as a mule because... It's from that point, like, you know.
It's the one with the wiped items. So that's like.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
now
right.
It has items because it's holding my items as a mule. But yeah, they didn't erase it. They told me that if the new one is working, I can remove the bugged one. But right. I decided just to keep it for, you know, for the sake
so
of the
funny,
memories
man.
And crazy adventure. So I have it.
I'm so glad you told that story. That is actually freaking hilarious. So, but it resulted in two good things. One, you got your character back. Well, three. Yeah. Two, you have a mule character that you're using to store your awesome stuff. And now you're a content creator. That's a crazy origin story, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
Then it started, like, when I already learned how to upload those videos, I think first thing was someone told me that I should try, like, I have good builds and so on, like doing good with the raid, and some other people wanted to see it, so I should try to upload my build to YouTube since I already know how to do it.
That's awesome.
And I was like, first video was like experiment. I'm like, if no one gonna watch it,
sure.
I'm not uploading anymore. That's not something I need to do. But if really there is someone who wants to see it, so let's see. And I uploaded, and there was like back then, that was, of course, very little views as for today's standard of the channel.
Of course.
But back then, me having no views and no channel at all, and then my first build in relatively short time, got like 1,000 views. For me, that was crazy a lot. It was okay, there is like, if there is 1,000 people that want to see my build, then I can upload some more videos with the stuff I have.
Dude,
that's how it started.
That is an awesome story, and I'm very happy that you shared this on the podcast. So thank you for doing that, man. And you are now a big part of the community. You're covering Fallout 76 all the time now. It's your full-time job. Let's talk about Fallout 76. Like, we've got a lot to cover, obviously. The upcoming ghoul update, where you get to play as a ghoul for the very first time in the game. What I want to do is put that aside for a second. We can talk about that in the next segment. Talk to me about the state of Fallout 76 in general. Like, how do you think the game is going? What were your thoughts about the previous updates with Gleaming Depths and the raids, Milepost Zero, Skyline Valley? Can I just get your general thoughts on how you think the game is going prior to the ghoul update?
I think we are in the best shape of Fallout ever. Mm. Outside of, you know, people saying that there are still bugs and so on.
Sure.
They are in every Bethesda game. They always were. So I'm not expecting the turn of events here. Best game of Bethesda that is completely bug-free. But let's be honest. There is no those critical bugs like back then that could wipe your inventory completely. So there is bugs like
do,
that.
Do you remember the one where if you joined a map and your camp was taken, it would just get rid of your camp? Do you remember that?
There is no bugs like that anymore.
There's nothing like that anymore, thankfully.
Nothing can do with your progress. So that's the most important.
Yeah.
If your game crashes once per couple hours, depend on your platform. Like for me, crashes are not really happening on my PC. Maybe once per 8 hours, which is
that's
very good score for the Bethesda game. So that's not a problem. Just restart the game. A little bit of inconvenience after several hours of gaming. Not something that will ruin it.
Yeah.
If, let's say, in-game there is a bug that the weapon does too little damage or a little bit too much damage, not something that breaks it for you. You can either not use it, use different weapon, wait for the next patch.
Sure.
Whatever you prefer. It's not like game-breaking stuff. So this is a good shape from the bug perspective. Now the content, we never had more. So for the content, multiple quest lines. Like if you are starting from zero, I think Fallout 76 has about 60 to 80 hours of content. Quests only. I'm not talking about the grind of expeditions, raid, daily ops, and for all the gear, as those are probably around hundreds, if not a thousand of hours to get everything for the people that want to.
Yeah.
But just the quest lines, and a lot of them is really good. There, of course, it's multiplayer game, so there are filler quest lines when you basically go from place A to place B. Kill stuff, return to place A. But that's normal for any MMO. If anyone will say, oh, that's terrible, it shouldn't be there, so that you're crazy. How do you make MMO?
Touching on the quest lines, like Skyline Valley in particular, I really enjoyed Skyline Valley because if you remember, we had the series of expedition updates, and then we finally got that proper, like, normal, what we would expect when it came to Fallout 3 or Fallout 4, just story content and the map expansion. That map expansion was so awesome, man. And it's funny enough, I played Skyline Valley, of course, but on the PTS. In my live character, I still haven't gone through and played it. I'm very excited to do so because I'm just going to enjoy it and soak it in. I don't need to review it. I don't need to rush it for any purposes. I don't need to do any guides because that's all long gone. I really enjoyed the story content for the time, and I'm excited just to jump back into it. Can I ask you on raids? That's obviously prior to the ghoul update. That was the big thing, especially for endgame players, really wanting some content at the end to grind for, to keep doing. What is your opinion on the raids? Like, did it live up to your expectations with Gleaming Depths?
I think this is awesome addition. It's the content that was missing for a long time. There was nothing for endgame player. Nothing to test yourself, to see how well can you go. It's true that you cannot basically solo it. It's impossible because of stage 2, that you need to gather canisters and simultaneously defend the drill. And there are those one-hit mole miners, which we all hate.
Oh, dude.
Just no matter your armor, they just want to hit you. That's by design. Yeah. I don't like this particular design, but everything else, it's awesome. And it's really try your gear, your setup, your teammates. There are some people that say, this is pointless. This content is for like top 20% players. And my answer to that, That's exactly the point.
Yeah,
there need
to
be something for the players that completed the game, basically, as the quest lines are involved and other content and collected all the gear.
Mm.
They need to be something to still do. It cannot be like, okay, done like in single player game, next title. Like, that's not online games work. They need to be something for people that do have a gear. And yes, it shouldn't be possible to go out of the vault and complete raids by yourself. That's not how it's supposed to work. So it's working exactly as it should for this aspect.
I mean, like, before raids, what did we have as endgame players? Because players like you, me, and everyone else that had played for 500 plus
bosses.
Hours... Right, like it was the Scorch Beast Queen, it was Earl Williams, and one or two others, right? So we had kind of done that, and there weren't those like end game raids where you could really play and in particular like get awesome rewards. Like, the thing I like about these raids is that every stage you're potentially getting a bunch of awesome legendary box mods, or especially the 4-star mods. You're getting a ton of serums that you can sell in your camp. You're getting the Vulcan power armor, whether it's the planes.
You're getting everything.
I feel
experience
like
experience currencies. It's caps? Even more than you would expect. Like, I was so surprised when they released it. Like, first time I was looking over the rewards per stage, I was like, I don't want to say anything, but I think someone gave us 10 times as much rewards as normally we are getting.
I agree. I was like, I'm not complaining, but we're getting showered in rewards. And I feel like, it's great. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, after doing raids for an hour, my character is over encumbered with all the items. And I'm scrapping what I can scrap. I'm scrapping after every stage. And still after an hour, I'm over encumbered. I need to manage inventory. There's so much loot and a lot of good stuff. Yeah. A lot of weight are legendary mod boxes.
Dude, like even like in between stages, because you're so over encumbered, you normally you get a bunch of legendaries. Oh, I'll go and trade it for a script, right? You don't have time for that. You're just like, I'm gonna scrap it for the smaller amount. Yeah. It's actually so funny that I get why people are saying, you know, oh, it's too hard, it's not for me, I can't do it. But you are right. It is the exact point. Plus, as well, I think it does give something for people to aim towards. Like, if you do stick to it, if you join a group that can maybe carry you a little bit, if you start just doing raids bit by bit, eventually you will get to the stage when you, like, when I got back into it, and I'm going to do a separate video on this. I did not touch the legendary power armor system. My build was just bloodied unyielding, right? So I had my T65 power armor, non-legendary. I didn't have a proper Gatling plasma or heavy weapons for the raid. So I just joined someone else's raid and they were helping me a little bit. And then you start to get the legendary box mods dropping. You start to get the Vulcan power armor. And then eventually you're able to stand on your own in these raids. That's the point. That's what we wanted. As endgame players, that's what we were screaming for, to get all these freaking awesome rewards. I completely agree with you, man, honestly.
Yeah, that's a really good addition. I hope we'll get more raids in the future. Really need more raids.
So on that,
this is like, working great.
In terms of the future of Fallout 76, what would you like to see? I mean, we can talk about, you know what? Let's talk about this after. I want to talk about the future of Fallout 76 after the Ghoul update, because I feel like it's very relevant in terms of maybe we should get more playable characters and classes, and maybe I want to play as a super mutant. So let's first tackle the Ghoul update, right? As I mentioned, Bethesda announced a ton of stuff today. We've known about the Ghoul update for a while. I think they announced it last year. It's been in the PTS for a good while. So obviously you've been playing it a lot. You're ready for the update. Can you just tell everyone here, what is in this update? Like, we know that you can play as a ghoul, but let's get into the nitty-gritty. What does that mean? What's the quest line like? What benefits or negatives do you get from being a ghoul? You're the best person to ask, or one of the best people to ask. What is this Ghoul update about?
Okay, I don't want to give any spoilers about the quest line.
Sure.
But yes, there is a quest line that you can become a ghoul. Let's not give spoilers. I don't know if everyone who's watching you wants to know ahead of time what the quest line is about.
Yeah, yeah.
So I usually prefer, like, if I do a quest line talking points or I play through the quest line, I put a big spoiler tag on my title.
Yeah.
It's game mechanics, that's different. You want to know ahead of time game mechanics that are coming.
Of course.
Quest line and all that is about, not usually that.
Yeah.
At least that's me. I don't want to know ahead of time exactly what the quest is about. The same like if I go to watch a movie, I don't want someone to tell me what the movie is about.
I want Especially when they haven't said spoiler alert, you know what I mean? So let's talk about it without spoilers about the quest line. So like how does the mechanic of being a ghoul actually work in the game?
So the mechanic, you are a ghoul. Yeah. So that changes several things in the game. There are some penalties and bonuses.
Mm.
You are losing access to some factions. You cannot even go there unless you put a special disguise.
Okay.
So they cannot tell you are a ghoul. Mm. But that's from the other quest perspective. That's not the most important, in my opinion. The important stuff is, so penalties. Maybe let's do it other way around than usually. What are the penalties of being a ghoul?
Yeah.
You cannot effectively play as a bloodied build. It's not really possible.
Mm-hmm.
Second, you move slightly slower, but it's not advertised everywhere, but movement speed is slightly reduced for the ghouls. You are getting a penalty to your charisma, the total charisma stat. So if perk scales with charisma, it's worse. The trading values will be worse.
Mm-hmm.
Not the end of the world. Then you have this new feral meter.
Mm.
That you top up by consuming chems. There is no longer thirst or hunger.
Mm-hmm.
You are going on chems. So you consume chems to top it up. And if you don't, you eventually go feral, which is like a separate mode you can play in. So ghouls has two modes. So let's start talking about ghouls from the bottom. What if you are a feral ghoul? Penalties go up. So charisma penalty is then... even worse, I forgot the exact number, but even worse. Then on top of that, you are losing ability to be good with guns. VAT's accuracy down to 0%. So you will miss VAT's hits. Yeah. VAT's accuracy 0%. Hip fire accuracy, 300% penalty. So the spread is insane. It basically shoot everywhere. So you cannot... most guns is very ineffective at aiming. There are some guns that you can still push to the point that you'll be able to hit something with.
Yeah.
But most of the guns out of the table, you are a feral ghoul. What is the benefit of being a feral ghoul? You get 150% bonus to your melee damage. So this is intended for melee damage and access to one legendary perk that normal ghouls cannot use that is reducing the cost of the abilities that consume your glow. And now we should probably talk about what glow is. So glow can be consumed to do even more melee damage and some other things like that. There is this legendary perk that reduces the cost. But glow... in reality, it's your second health bar. So on top of your regular health bar, there is a second health bar that has two purposes. First, it works the same as your normal health bar. So if you take damage, it's being consumed. You cannot heal it up with Stimpaks. You can only heal it up with radiation.
Mm-hmm.
So the second glow bar, you top up with radiation from consumables, from environment, from guns, like a gamma gun shooting at your feet. And when you top it up, you can use this glow to do extra damage or just keep the glow to activate some of the special perks for ghoul. For example, one that everyone is looking forward is this brick wall. Mm. Immunity to all staggers as long as your glow is high. So you need to have this glow bar. So that adds additional depth to the gameplay.
Yeah.
You are not avoiding damage just to prevent yourself from dying, what was obvious so far. Now as a ghoul, you are trying to minimize damage taken. So you don't need to constantly top up your glow bar and you can benefit from those new glow-related perks.
Mm.
So ghouls are actually quite good, irregular ghouls with stealth. That suits them very well. Because if you are stealth, you do not take damage in most circumstances, so you can keep your glow high at all points, and then you are immune to any random staggers and other things that could happen to you.
Yeah.
Ghouls are very tanky because of this mechanic as well. That's the second health bar. So let's say you have 500 health normally.
Uh-huh.
With full glow bar, you have 1K. So you are significantly more tanky. There is a lot of perks that we cannot talk about all of them here. It's like one video talking about them that's 15 minutes alone. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot new perks added to the ghouls. There is this glow mechanic that we'll need to maintain to keep it up. So blooded builds, human builds, maintain radiation to keep in this low percentage of health to do extra damage. Ghouls do opposite. They maintain radiation to get higher health and get those bonuses from topping it up as often as they can.
Right.
So that's new. So those are the new mechanics involving the ghoul, a different play style. So now, if you want to be a full health, it's no longer a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Because if you want to play full health and you play ghoul, you have a lot of advantages from topping up your health bar at all times. Like some people like to always keep it at 100%. Mm. Now you always keep it at 200% and have bonuses from doing that. So it sounds
like this is like a completely different way of playing Fallout 76. I know there's been a bit of talk about how many times you can turn into a ghoul and revert. I believe I watched a video of yours that said you might not be able to change back more than once. But then I read something that apparently you might be like, there's something in the atomic shop which might allow you to revert to a ghoul. How does that work?
It looks like it will be atomic shop stuff to turning between ghoul and human.
So after the first time, you get a free one to do it. But then if you want to keep doing it, you're going to have to go through that system.
Yeah, it does look like it. It's still not in the atomic shop at this moment to check it out. We don't know the pricing, but it is confirmed through the data mining. It was at some point on the health page. I think they redacted it a little bit, so it doesn't really state anything about atomic shop on the health page, you know, in-game health page. But it was there for a moment.
It's there on the, if you look at the news article on BethesdaNet, that's how I found about it. It's because I remember you saying what you said, and then I read that. And I'm like, okay, so that's how they're doing it. And in that case, like, is this something that people are going to want to start a new character for? Like, are many people going to want to change their existing builds to a ghoul and stay there? Or do you think most people would just prefer to start a new character?
I think both ways are okay.
Okay.
Both ways are okay. I play on one character. That's what I prefer.
Same.
I like to prefer both. I have other characters. Sometimes I do a new playthrough. Sometimes I just take some character that didn't even finish all the quest lines to do something different. But mostly, I play on my main. I like my main to experience everything.
I'm the same, bro. Everything in the game.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just personal preference. I know people that have character per class.
Yeah.
And they are constantly asking when we will get more character slots, because 5 and there is more classes now. With ghouls, you need 10 to cover all the classes.
I can't imagine having enough time to create that many characters, because like the amount of things that you need to redo and the plans that you need to get, like it's a huge time investment. I'm like you, bro. There's no slide on it. I'm the one character. That's it. Nothing else.
I know those people exist because quite often I'm on the raid with Daniel.
Yeah,
he just finished the challenge to do 76 full raids, I think on his 4th or maybe already on 5th character. So you know how many raids is that? 76 full raids on all characters.
That's insane! What the hell, man?
people do that. So that's up to the preference. Mm. I like the fact, no matter how they will do it, that we could revert back to human and do it again. I would prefer if that would be in-game rather than Atomic Shop purchase.
I agree.
It would be more organic.
Yeah.
I know they want to make money. Every game company wants to make money. But this one, I think I would prefer to keep in-game, even if that would require doing some chores, like pointless questing that take your time, just so you cannot just switch on the fly. You know, it cannot be like one press of the button. Ghoul human, because that would be ridiculous. But some kind of in-game, I would prefer. But if it will be like it is now, I will accept it too. I just don't want to be locked out from one class permanently.
So at this moment, I agree.
You go through the quest line, you are a ghoul, you don't like it, it's still free at this point. You go to your character list, you select your character, and there is an option to turn back to human. And you can do it. You press the button, confirm, you are back human.
Yeah.
But from that point, you will start paying if you want to change again. That's how it looks like.
So practically for someone like you, you have the one character, and I'm sure many others are in the same position. do you see yourself constantly swapping back and forth? Like,
constantly? No.
Okay.
But I was thinking, like, for me, playing first season probably full as a girl because I want to experience it. That's new. But after that point, I was thinking playing half of the season as a girl, half of the season as a human to make it more interesting. Like, switch it a little. I know that everyone will agree with me. Some will say, oh, you cannot do it. You should have dedicated ghoul character. You cannot change. But I like my main character to change. I don't know. It's just
Don't let them tell you otherwise. You play the game like you want to play it, man. Can I ask you, by the way?
I'm not telling other people how to play. If someone is saying, I'm saying, enjoy. I'm saying the most important part, go enjoy. Do it how you like. Even if in my guide I will say that's the most optimal way, doesn't mean you need to do it. You can even disagree and tell me I have better, more optimal way, and I'm happy for you. Like, I'm not doing my guides to prove my superiority. I know the better way. No, that's not the point. I want to help people that are looking for the best way to do some things, for the best weapon. That's what people are looking on YouTube. What's the best heavy gun? So then I can showcase what I think is the best heavy gun, serves me the best, and how it works and everything. Rather than say, this is the only heavy gun you should be using. If you are using a different one, you are just stupid.
Dude,
that's not the point.
Can I say, and I recently watched that heavy gun video of yours because doing raids, I want a heavy gun build, and I just want to know, like, let's call it the meta, like, what are the best guns?
Yeah,
I've never felt watching a video of yours where you're like, these are the best guns, and if you use anything else, like, you're stupid. In that video, you were like, the 50 cal is still good, one of my favorite guns. It feels great to use, might not be as powerful, but it's still viable and it's still fun. So if that's what you want to do, go do it. I've never felt like you've approached a guide video like that. Don't listen to those people. So I can't remember what we were talking about now. All right. So tropping back and forth between your ghoul, you see yourself doing it every now and again. But can I ask you, is being a ghoul like meta-defining? Do you think this is going to be like one of the better ways to play in raids, for instance, or expeditions or whatever it might be? Or is it just a different style of playthrough?
It is a different style, but as it stands, if you want to consider a meta, it will be a meta.
Top?
A good character will be a meta, It will be top just because of the ability to tank so well and simultaneously dishing out a huge amount of damage if needed.
So you're telling me
it will not beat a bloodied build in DPS. It will not, because
But Turtle, bloody builds are gone now. Like
Not in the raids.
No, like I had this problem returning to the game where for years and years and years, all my loot, all my my equipment, it was all bloodied. Right, I had a full set of Secret Service unyielding. I had my bloodied weapons. And I had nothing else. Trying to even do the Earl Williams one. Or any of that's like the Skyline, some of the Skyline Valley events I got destroyed in at low health, so I had to go in at higher health. But especially the raid, it's just not viable to do that content. And then I'm like, all right, well, now I need to work on this full health build. So I know that bloodied is completely out of the water, but
completely.
Okay.
There are people still using bloodied in the most extreme part of the spectrum. If we are talking about min-maxers.
Right.
That want to be ready. It doesn't matter what they take. They care about maximum result.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how many cams, bubble heads you need to consume, what gear you need to farm for. If it exists, they will go for it. And I really appreciate those people. They give you like this extreme perspective when you go for like absolute best in slot everything, every consumable, everything else, and then see what happens. So what happens then? Let's say the raid final boss snake.
Yeah.
What will happen? They go bloodied. You know why?
Because they're going to destroy it with crits on the head, I assume. Like, that's the most DPS.
Yeah, they kill it before snake can even do any damage to them.
No.
Before the
no
first
way.
Snake attack, yes.
It's
less than 10 seconds. So less than 10 seconds. Before the snake can do the first attack, it's dead. So that's the bloodied build for you.
Whoa, hold on. What bloodied build is that? Is that like is that stealth or is it just a heavy gun bloodied? What exactly is it?
Stealth doesn't work in raid. Unfortunately, that's like mandatory disabled in so many parts of Fallout content now. I don't like it. I think they overdid it with switching off stealth. I know why, because stealth was very powerful, but just forcing it out everywhere where you could have some advantage out of it, it killed stealth builds. It truly killed stealth builds that you cannot use it on so many boss fights at all. What's the point of being stealth? You're usually squishy, you hide and dish out damage. But you cannot hide, so you just die. So that's the stealth today in a lot of parts of the content. But back to the snake, what they are doing, they don't go stealth because it's disabled. So that's the heavy gunner, blooded, crit meta, with whatever consumables you can apply.
Right.
Aiming for the eye of the snake as soon as possible, as soon as you can press the VATS button. So even before the snake physically appear on the screen, you can press the VATS button and it will target the eye before the snake will even appear out from this green lava. And starts firing as fast as possible. So before snake do the first attack, it's dead.
Oh my god. I feel like a peasant. Jesus Christ. That's crazy.
Yeah, and me with my team, we have good builds. The best time we did on the snake, I think it's like 35 seconds. And that was when I was trying good teammates and everything. Not bloodied, because we do entire build. We do not switch per stage to the best possible setup to do the speed run. But it's 30-something seconds, so you need to tank something during this 30 seconds. Snake will do some attacks, and if you are very low health, then you die. But they go in, they can do it at 5% health. So bloodied maxes out when you are at 5% health. Because you know snake will not be able to do a single attack, you don't need to care. You can have this tiny bit of health and go and kill it fast.
So are you saying now, like, let's put aside the crazy bloodied build where they kill it before it spawns. Are you saying now that the ghoul build, because of glow, because of fair, is that going to be the best way of completing raids right now? Or when the update comes out?
Yes, although it will not really cut down time in raid by any significant amount. So it's not like you will do it faster. It will be easier because you have two health bars. It will be requiring
it's all good.
Way less. Yeah. Not lay west. Way less. Way less effort to keep all your eye on your health bar because you have two. You will not melt two so fast. So you can do quite well there.
So you're a lot more tanky because you have the glow meter as well. But in terms of like straight DPS, it's still higher. It's mainly the glow system that's giving you that ability.
The glow system increasing your DPS and some ghoul specific perks. So there is one perk under luck that gives you plus 15% weak spot damage. The weak spot damage, how it works, it's multiplicative. So it's way better than Bloody Mess. That's 15% additive. This one is true. In other words, true 15% increase.
Wait, is that
so
intentional?
I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, did they mean to make it multiplicative?
It works the same way as Pinpointer's effect on weapons, the 4-star legendary. Right. Is that intended? I don't know. At some point, they were so against these multipliers for your damage.
Yeah.
And now from the Age of Pinpointers, those are back. Is it by design? That's what hard to tell, you know.
Well, do you remember when they made the change from multiplicative to additive? They were like, we are going to slowly change it and experiment, and they never really did for a while. This could be their way. Multiplicative is back, baby. You're going to play as a ghoul.
So that's the ghoul power. That's the ghoul damage from those unique perks.
Generally, when it comes to ghouls being feral, the glows, the new perk cards, is it fun? Like, is this something that you think is good new content that Bethesda should be praised for? Is this something that you enjoyed playing?
Yes, it is. It is fun.
Awesome.
It's adding... I would do my personal tweaks about legendary perks and some other stuff if I could.
Yeah.
But in this form, it is fun.
That is...
The problem with new legendary perks for ghouls, for most part, as I see it, no one would use them. That's my problem with them. Like, if we are adding new stuff, let's make it in the way that it will really be desirable to use. Like, that's why I'm supporting Ghoul being so strong on the release.
Yeah.
Because it's good. it's not like a gimmick that you switch to ghoul and you want to go back to human as soon as possible to get your advantages back.
Mm.
No, it's now there is a lot of benefits to play it. So it's very desirable to be a ghoul.
Yeah.
There are some negatives to balance it out.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. Like tradebacks, it's always like you get something for something. That's always a good mechanic in games. I'm in support of that. The balancing of it is difficult. I need to say it. That's the developer's hardest job. How to find the balance between negative and positive? Of course, everyone from the player perspective wants those positives to be strong and don't want those negatives. But if you put positives only, then you're just creating a super class, doing everything better than anyone else.
Yeah, and then you leave behind a lot of the builds that people have worked so hard on. So, like, it's hard because they want to make this new content as fun and as exciting and, like, enticing as possible. So, do you think after maybe some more fine-tuning, and I know they would have started at a completely different place when the PTS first came out, do you think they're at the right spot, or does more things need to be balanced and changed for them to get there?
Could have been, but generally, it's in good spot. It's fun. It plays well.
Yeah.
It adds new tweaks to the game. It's very good addition. What I would like to see, maybe not straight away because we don't have time, but in the future, drop with the patch some human unique stuff to balance it out this way.
Yeah.
Rather than looking for more negatives for the ghoul, I don't think ghoul need more negatives, but humans need some new unique stuff. Maybe something related to stealth be more usable.
Yeah.
Or maybe something related to going bloodied.
Yeah.
To be more usable in raid scenario. One thing that could have achieved that, you know, we have this power armor reboot legendary perk.
Yeah.
But it has only 40% chance to save you.
Mm-hmm.
What if we would tweak that simple tweak that would put bloodied build back without breaking everything?
Yeah.
Just change it so it's 100%, but with a cooldown. So you would get this 1 second chance, but generally you need to play carefully because you know after you take your second chance, there would be like 5 minutes cooldown.
Yeah.
So that would balance it out. The bloodied will be still able to go, being very careful and having 1 second chance if in case of mess up because you know in the raid there's no revives.
Yeah.
So if you mess up, you're out from the stage. So at least 1 second chance if you are a bloodied build with power armor reboot will balance it out. At this moment, 40% chance. It sometimes helps you, sometimes does it, and it's too random to really rely on it. It's nice, but too random. So that would already balance it out. But generally, the ghoul update is really good.
All right. And obviously, everything they announced today when it came to the season and all the rewards, what's your opinion on that? Like, what's coming to the game when it comes to... What's the season called? It's something of the ghoul. I can't remember now. But are the rewards fun? Like, is there anything in there that you, like, returning players or new players would be excited about?
Like what rewards from the season?
From the season. So as you're completing the season, like
because I wasn't sure if you're referring to in-game rewards or season. Season.
Yeah.
Season. I noticed because those are already released. I was reading people's opinion about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the most divisive season ever. Because
really?
What I see, I don't know why. Yeah,
tell
I don't
me?
Understand.
Okay. Why is that?
But they're very drastically different comments. From one hand, you have people, boring, there is nothing in it, the worst season ever, pile of garbage, uninstalling Fallout. And from other spectrum, you have people, oh, this is amazing for my camp, I can see all the possibilities, someone else, best season ever, I cannot wait, all this stuff, look at the weapon paints and so on. And yeah, I don't understand. How that, this season managed
weird.
To put people... There is almost no one in between. There is almost no one commenting like, yeah, it's okay. There is almost no comments like that.
So everyone either is love or hate it. That's
super
it.
Hype or hate it, garbage, I don't care.
So
I don't know why.
Where do you sit? Like, do you think the items are cool? Like, in particular, I was saying they do look different. Like, the camp items in particular, everything's very, as you would expect with the ghoul playable character. There's a lot of glowing stuff. It's very ghoul themed.
Yeah, I like glowing stuff. So,
well, there you go.
I need the hype
camp. Yeah,
the weapon skins, the best. Like, I'm so excited about all those weapon skins.
Do we get a new one for the Gatling Plasma or like the Plasma Caster? Holy Fire, maybe?
Holy Fire is normally not possible to have any skin applied. I think that is for a flamer. Yeah. What was that? This Gatling gun, 50 cal, my favorite for sure. Getting a paint.
I do like that. Yeah, nice, nice.
There's railway. Oh, I don't remember every single paint, but there's a bunch of paints.
Nice.
So those are really cool. The camp items are very new and unique. Those ultracite and glowing team. So a lot of green glowing stuff I like overall.
And it's very fitting.
It's a good season.
Yeah, yeah. And like people that want to start their game as like new game as a ghoul or change their character to a ghoul, they can now make a very ghouly camp. That sounds good to me, even though it's drastically different and people are torn. I think they did head in the right direction with it. We've got like 10 minutes, by the way, and I mentioned that I would love to talk about the future of Fallout 76. Like the playable ghoul character and class is getting people very jazzed about what could come down the line, and I think the next obvious thing would be a playable super mutant character. What would you like to see from Fallout 76, just in general? Like, do you want to see more raids? Do you want to see more content like Skyline Valley? Do you want to see more playable classes? What are your thoughts on that?
So definitely for the nearest future, I would like to see at least one more raid because it's just so good content that I cannot wait to see what else they can produce in the raid department for endgame players.
Yeah.
So that's probably my number one at this moment, to get one more full raid. That would be awesome, with new rewards, of course, and whatever comes with it.
Yeah.
Then second, I would like to see a map expansion for the west side of the river.
Mm.
If we could get there, I always wanted to go there. I would like a quest line in there, west side of the river. That currently, if you don't know, there is a map border going with the river on the western side. Mm-hmm. So you can just almost touch other side, but it will not let you cross the river. So that's so annoying. And I always wanted to go there. I want to go there. It's so beautiful area with green trees and so on. We have a lot of different areas. Like we have the Skyline Valley with red, Ash Heap with dark, black, some toxic areas that are basically white, the swamps, the Cranberry Bog, and so on. But forests, you only are there when you start the game. Can we go again to the beautiful forest and mountains that are on other side on the river? That would be so cool and have some kind of a quest line. Maybe, let's say, instead of areas being the most affected by the war, that would be some kind of an area the least affected by the nukes. And like different.
I like it.
I'm not saying free from apocalypses. That's followed. That's not what I'm looking for. But less affected, when there's some kind of people that we could meet in there, like we're hiding or living there, do some quests for them.
All right.
I'm not saying what the quest should be about. I'm more about where the quest should be.
Yeah. So you said something interesting that I want to deep dive on a little bit. You said one more raid you would like them to add. Are you kind of foreseeing the slowdown of Fallout 76 content anytime soon? Like, the game has been out and getting content for so long, but we're not going to get another Fallout game for a long time. The Fallout TV show is doing great, so they need some sort of official game content to go along with it. Are you starting to see the end in sight, or do you think they're going to keep going for the next 3 to 5, 10, however many years?
How long? I don't know. They promise us 10. So
they
four
did.
To go.
I remember that.
So four to go to fill. I honestly don't think they would ever want to break this promise at this point. That would be the most stupid idea to ever do. Like, cut it at 9 years, cut support at 9 years.
That would
be like shooting your foot. We almost keep our promises. We just break them at the very end. No, that would be the most ridiculous thing to do. So definitely for 10 years, we are getting content. So another four. But I think it will keep going after this point. The Fallout community grew. It is in a good state. If we compare, the closest community will be Elder Scrolls. They're just different people. They like different things. Like those games, both MMORPG from the classification standpoint, but completely different. The universe, the feel of the game, this is completely different. As I know, I played Elder Scrolls. I was even trying to play it more, but I couldn't break myself to be like, not like the game is bad. That's not what I'm saying. I just couldn't break myself to be attached to that universe as much as I am to Fallout universe.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And that's important aspect for immersion perspective. Now about content, I think it will keep releasing. Like, objectively, last year, taken into consideration, we never had before in Fallout 76 such a rapid release of new content with such a volume.
Yeah.
There used to be like one big thing per year.
I remember.
It was one big thing per year.
Yeah.
And during the last year, we had three big things. Yep. So that's triple the content in recent years. I know it was most likely because they released Fallout TV show not to waste opportunity, and that's good. That's I would do as a business, as a business owner myself. I would like be like, yeah, let's do this thing that is awesome, and we have this other thing that we just ignore for no reason. No, that would be no. But I think it will keep going. I don't know if they will be able to keep the pace as the last year. As honestly, that's hard. Like
it is.
That's a lot of content to push out, test, release, figure out. Like, you need to have ideas. Like, it's not like the content comes to you by itself.
Yeah.
It's not like you sit in front of PC and just start typing. There's new content.
Press
Let's go.
The raid button.
One DLC, second DLC, third DLC.
And it's also the team that they, do you know what their situation is right now? I know that they have Double 11 still helping. But are there other devs in addition to Double 11 and BGS? I swore there was like one or two smaller ones that were also assisting. Or is it mainly those two?
There were, but I don't honestly know at this moment how is the state of the teams, how many people is working. You need to get someone from inside to ask those questions.
I can only see
the results.
Yeah,
you call your friends from inside Bethesda to figure that out.
Yeah, I
see the results. So definitely there is lots of people working on it. That's not a job that small group can accomplish. It's not like three models sit together and they keep pumping content every 3 months. So that's not possible. So there is a lot of people working on it. I'm expecting the content will keep going, at least as long as they don't plan to cancel Fallout show.
They won't. Series it's doing two, well.
I know the series two of the TV show will definitely not hit as well as series one for the simple reason. TV shows don't do that. The first season is always the best. I don't know why, but it's always the best.
Yeah.
The first season always bring the most people.
There's a chance that they maintain as, like, you would hope they can maintain like 70 to 80% of the momentum, right?
And that's really good. If you can do
that'd be great.
You have amazing show.
100%.
The best shows are dropping from the season to season. I don't even know why, because if I like a show, I'm not quitting halfway. So I don't know. But there are people that like watch season one and they like it. Maybe those are people that kind of like it and not interested enough to see the season two. I don't know how it exactly works. I do watch all the seasons if I really like the show.
Oh, and the way that it ended, man. Like, no, you know what? We're not going to get into spoilers because people watch the bloody thing, right? But where we're about to go in season two, I cannot imagine someone that watched the first full season and was like, "Ah, no, I'm done. I'm probably never going to watch it again." Do you know what I mean? But obviously, like, they're going to have season two. It's going to bring more. Hopefully, you're going to bring more players just to the Fallout universe, whether it's 76 or 4 or 3 or whatever game that they want to jump into. Are you like hopeful about the future of 76, especially if they add a new raid? Especially like, I think they might actually, if the ghoul playable ghoul character is really good, they might add super mutants. They might add the ability to play as a robot, whether it's a sentry bot or whatever it might be. Are you hopeful that the game is going to continue to add that content and continue to be good?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's continue to add content.
Yeah.
There is no reason not to. I know they will be adding content. The only question we can have is the pace of the content. How fast will it go? Honestly, I would be okay even if we end up with something in between the slow releases on the content early on and very fast that are today. If we'll be getting two big portions of the content per year, I would be still happy.
I would be happy like every year there was a map expansion with a quest line like Skyline Valley and there was a raid. Like, those two things satisfy both camps of Fallout 76 players, like the end game player and just the regular player that want to come back and do quest content. I think that would be a great cadence. If they have the team in the middle, add a new playable class. And then we get to the stage where maybe there are raids where you really need a ghoul character, you need a super mutant character because everyone's playing a particular role. Maybe there's a class or a character that acts as a healer more so to really help the team. They could go crazy with it, man. They could go crazy MMO. Yeah. You know what I mean?
A lot can be done. If people want super mutants, I don't know if that's going to happen, but we'll see. Definitely, we are getting fishing. They already hinted at that.
So I forgot about fishing. We are getting fishing. Yeah. Do you think, by the way, like, I know we're almost at the hour mark, but do you think fishing is just going to be like a little side thing? Like, you can fish and get really rare fish.
Yeah. I think so. It will be a side thing. Maybe some quests to it or some cool tweaks. Like, fishing in video games, it's such a big meme.
Yeah.
So like a lot of
you know how they're gonna work though. They're gonna have fishing and they're all gonna be consumable and there's gonna be a really rare one that gives you this awesome benefit that's gonna let you smash raids or whatever. That's how it's gonna work.
We'll see.
Yeah. But Turtle Bro, thank you so much for joining me. We're at the hour mark. I really appreciate it. This was a fun chat, and I really appreciated you telling me the story about how you got started on YouTube. That was freaking awesome. I hope that gets clipped. At the end, I'll include all the links to your channels in the description below. Can you please tell everyone what you do, where they can find you, and everything that goes on your channel?
So, you can find me on YouTube under the name Angry Turtle, as well as on Twitch, some other social medias. But if you find me on YouTube, it's all linked in the description under every video. If you want to find our Discord,
hell yeah,
we have Turtle Army Discord that people hang out playing Fallout, some other games too.
Not
exclusively Fallout, but most people play Fallout. And yeah, you will find me there. On YouTube, the best place to look for.
Oh, and I assume when the Ghoul update comes out, like, you're going to be ready with the guides. You know what I'm waiting on from you, by the way? You mentioned in your best heavy gun weapon that, Furious and Vital is going to be the new key, and you're going to change up your build for that. That's what I'm looking forward from you. So as soon as that guide comes out, message me, and I want to be watching it.
All right.
Thank you so much, bro. Please do go check out Angry Turtle's channel. It's in the description below. And until next time, this has been the Lonebot Wanderer. Please take care of yourselves, and would you kindly keep fighting the good fight.